in all the Bible is this one. If you'll give me your undivided attention on purpose for 5 minutes, I think you'll want to find out what happens in the end of the story. Ahaziah has been the king of Judah. Ahaziah has a son who's just a baby boy whose name is Joash. But Ahaziah dies. His mother, Athaliah, now forget these names, but don't miss the story. His mother, Athaliah, decides she's going to destroy all the potential heirs of the throne. And she becomes the queen of Judah. However, they hid one of Ahaziah's boys, little Joash, just a baby boy, in the temple for almost 7 years. During these 7 years, the mother of the deceased king assumes the throne and becomes the queen of Judah. Bear in mind, her grandson, Joash, is hidden in the temple, awaiting the ripening of his years enough to where he can become the king. Now listen, the day comes when they feel that they should kill Athaliah, or if you want to call it Athaliah, whatever you want to call it, the wicked grandmother of the little boy and the mother of the deceased king. The time has come to take the throne from her and give it to the right heir, Joash, who now is a young boy, but no longer an infant. So the guards gather around Joash. Here's a little boy, a little fellow here now. He's going to be the king. Girls, listen to me. Every young person in this house, back here in this corner, every young person, you sit still while I preach, and don't you talk and laugh and whisper. You understand me? God give us the attentiveness to His Word. Here's a story from God's Word. We need it. This world that is casting its ammunition toward our young people. We need young people to sit up and hear God speak. And sit up and hear what the Word of God has to say. You'll not be able to fight the battles this week unless you hear what God says this morning. And so here's the little boy. He's been hidden for 7 years almost. And now they're going to destroy the wicked grandmother, take the throne from her, and place the little boy on the throne, for rightly it is his. So they take the bodyguards and put the bodyguards around the boy, and they say, watch him when he goes out, watch him when he comes in, and protect the boy. But they have no weapons. How can they defeat the wicked queen? And how can they destroy the wicked grandmother without weapons? Somebody remembers a beautiful truth. King David had deposited his weapons in the temple. Now, maybe there was a particular room. I do not know. But David would take the weapons of war that he had used with which to fight the battles against evil and for God and would deposit those in the temple. And for these years now, for these many years, these weapons of King David had been in the temple. Suddenly somebody gets the idea, why don't we get those weapons and use them? We're about to have a revolution. We're about to have an insurrection. And so the queen comes in, and the people have the weapons of David, the old weapons of the old warrior, the great king, the greatest king that ever sat on Israel's throne, the one likened to the one that someday shall sit on his throne and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years and rule and reign on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But King David, his weapons are on the wall. Somebody grabs the weapons. The queen comes in. She sees the weapons. She sees the bodyguards. To her surprise, she sees the young boy Joash, and she cries, treason! 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 It's to no avail, for they take her, and the wicked queen is killed, and Joash assumes the throne that was rightly his. But here's the wonderful thing. The right king could never have gotten vindicated or been vindicated had it not been for the people using the weapons of David. The weapons of David. And so, David's spears, David's shields, David's swords were taken years after his life, after his death, and used to win the battle for God and for good and for right, because David had left the swords and the spears and the shields in the house of God. In this story, there is a beautiful truth. I preached last Sunday night, on some things that I feel the First Baptist Church will realize in the next few years. I said last Sunday night that I believe the First Baptist Church ought to be running, within a matter of a few years, 10,000 in Sunday school, and with all of my heart, I believe we will. I said last Sunday night that I want the First Baptist Church of Hammond to build an elementary school here, build a new high school out on our property, build elementary schools all around the great Chicagoland, Calumet area, and have a great network of Christian schools where boys and girls who want to come and be taught not only proper things from education courses, but the Word of God and decency and patriotism and respect for law and order, and say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am, and know how to behave, and morals and decency, where it will not be led toward the new morality and the new orthodoxy and all the rest of the things that are destroying our nation. I said, I want God to give us a great network of Christian elementary schools around this area, flooding the graduates into one great high school. I believe within all of my soul, within 10 years, Dr. Billings, the largest high school in the Calumet region will set out yonder on that property we have right now. I said, I think we ought to build a home for senior citizens, an apartment house for senior citizens. I said that they ought to come in the next 10 years or a few years when we start a college and train our preacher boys, our young people, and train bus workers and Christian teachers and principals for Christian schools. I said, I think we ought to have an orphanage, a home for wayward boys. I gave last Sunday night the vision that God has given me in recent days. Somebody called in last Monday morning on the broadcast, and I read the prayer request. They said, thank God for the vision our pastor had last night. And I didn't have any visions. I'm not seeing any. Well, there are two green men that follow me everywhere I go, but I'm having no vision. But I'll tell you what I do see. I see in the next few years here one of the great colleges in America. I see here a great home for senior citizens. I see here a network of Christian elementary schools. I see here 10,000 people, Bibles in hand, every Sunday morning to study the Word of God in the great Sunday school of the First Baptist Church. But here's what I want to say. Regardless of what we build here, we'll use the same old weapons we've used for 83 years. Same ones. We'll keep on using the same methods and the same weapons we've used. Now, what are these weapons? Here's a young king. He needs to fight the battle, win the victory. Here's a wicked queen who's taken over the throne. Somebody says, what do we use? What weapons? And somebody says, grab the old weapons David used to use. If David can take those weapons and kill a bear, if David can take a slingshot and kill a giant, if David can take those spears and kill a lion, if David can win the battles against the Moabites and the Philistines, if David can defeat the enemies of Israel with those old weapons, we'll still use them. And I'm convinced with all of my heart today that the New Testament church had better trade her new weapons for the old weapons our country was built on, our churches were built on. And so this morning we'll keep fighting the battle. But thank God that our forefathers have placed on the walls of this building, they've placed the weapons that we can use in this warfare that is not fought with carnal weapons, but righteous weapons and weapons of the spiritual warfare given to us by those who've gone before. Now, what are these weapons? What are these weapons? The first weapon is this book. I can hardly think about this book this morning without just wiggling all over. I mean, I've been just consumed all morning with what a wonderful book this is. Blessed be God. I hold in my hand God's book from heaven. God's Word, inspired by the God who made the world. What a weapon to use. Ah, for these 25 years, Dr. Billings, I've stood behind pulpits, and really, I've done it when I was tired and when I was fresh. I've done it when I was weak and when I was strong, but 3.5 times a day for these last 15 years, and averaging 2 or 3 sermons a day for the last 25 years, I've stood behind pulpits up and down this country, and I've never found anything yet that'll beat just the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm convinced that if we have 10,000 people in Sunday school and have the school we ought to have, and the college, and the senior citizens home, and the high school, and the junior high school, and all the rest of it, we'll just use the old weapon of the preaching of the Word of God. Just the preaching of the Word of God. Don't get the idea we're going to have a war on poverty, brother. We're going to have a war on the devil. Don't get the idea we're going to have a social gospel. When that senior citizen home rises and that high school, new high school is built, and I've talked to somebody this last week about borrowing some money. If anybody here has about $3 million, see me after the service, please, in my office. I need it desperately as a down payment on the rest of the money I need. But see me after the service in case you have $3 million that you'd like to let somebody borrow for about 1,000 years at no interest. I'd like to see you after the service. But I am, when all that rises, the old First Baptist Church of Hammond will still preach the message, ye must be born again. We'll still preach the message of a heaven that's real and a hell that's hot and a new birth that is a necessity and of the judgment of God that's going to come. We'll still build this church and build every work and every phase of our church on the old weapon that God has left in this building, the preaching of the Word of God. I thank God that years ago I found out that the great secret of God's work is His Word. Everything that God has ever done, He's done through His Word. When God created the worlds, He spoke, and the worlds came into being. 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, you find these words, and God said, 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 and God said. Everything that God made in creation's dawn was made by the Word of God. Says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when He comes again to put down the Antichrist, He will do it with the spirit of His mouth, His Word, and the brightness of His coming. Everything that God has ever done, He's done through this book right here, His Word. Everything that's lasting that will ever be done for God must be done through this Word. I thank God I learned that as a young preacher. Many of you have heard me tell this simple story. I was called a pastor. My first full-time church, that means the first church that paid me enough money to where I didn't have to work on the side, they paid me $20 a week plus my house and my bills. And that's the first time I'd ever made so much money, and so I didn't have to work on the side. But there were three deacons in the church, only three, and all three of them hated my insides. Now, all of our 81 deacons here love me dearly, I'm sure. You better, or I'll eat your hide tonight. But anyway, these three deacons, they hated my... I was too young. I was 21. That's as old as a fellow will ever get. But they didn't want me to pastor the church. And so they'd make faces. They'd sit right here on about the second or third row right in the middle and make faces at me while I was preaching. And I stood up to preach the first Sunday, didn't know what was going to happen, and there they sat. Old Deacon George, beep, beep, he'd look up and he'd go... And I tried, Brother Fisk, I tried to preach, and I'd look, and there'd be, I'd preach over here a while, and then I'd go over here and preach over here a while. Every time I'd look, there'd be those three deacons making faces at me. Nobody could see them but me. Didn't have a choir in those days. If we had a choir, we wouldn't have had a congregation. And didn't have a choir, and there those three deacons would sit, making faces at me. And one night, I'd taken all I could take, and I was preaching on Elijah. And I said, Lord, I just can't take anymore. For 7 weeks, those deacons have been making faces at me, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I can't take it anymore. And so I decided to look at the Bible, you know, just thumb through while I was preaching. And so I just thumbing through and look over here a while, and look over here a while, and look down here a while, and then look there and there, there'd be, look over here and over here. And finally, as I was thumbing through, suddenly a verse jumped out at me. And here's what it said. I'd never seen it before. It said, be not dismayed at their faces. And I said, huh? And it said again, be not dismayed at their faces. And I stopped the service, and the sermon, and I said, I want to say a few words. I said, for 7 weeks, these three men right here are very tactful. I pointed them out. This man right here, this man right here, and this man right here. I said, for 7 weeks, they've been making faces at me. And I've been trying not to say anything. But tonight I was going to quit. But I noticed it said in the Bible, be not dismayed at their faces. I said, go ahead and make the faces. Go ahead and make yours. And go ahead and make yours. But I've got a message from God. Be not dismayed at your faces. And I said, now fasten your safety belts. It's going to be a rough flight from here on in. And I preached. I found out as a kid preacher, God's Word has the answer for every need. We have some great days ahead of us. We'll just keep on using the old weapons. Thank God for those dear saints of God that have left the weapons for us. in the house of God, the old weapons of the Word of God. You know, Brother Fisk, if God would give me a choice this morning, if God came to me and said, Preacher, Brother Hiles, I don't know what God's going to call me. He better not call me Jack. But anyway, what is going to Pastor, the Lord came and said, Dr. Hiles, now I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, the Lord came this morning and said, Brother Hiles, son, I'll give you a choice. I'll let you take this crowd, the same crowd, out to the Elmwood Cemetery and let you gather around the grave of Verdi Field, that godly deacon that passed away a few weeks ago. And I'll let you raise your hand over that grave and say, Verdi, come forth! The Lord would say to me, son, I'll cause that body that you loved and that man that you missed so much on the deacon board, especially in the election of deacons, do I miss Verdi because he was in charge of that. Thou calls that godly man to rise out of the grave and walk about the streets of Hammond and tell all of them what heaven's like. Or the Lord would say, son, I'll give you one other choice. I'll let you stand there just like you are this morning and open the Word of God and preach the Word of God. I've got so much faith in this Bible, Dr. Billings, I'd rather just preach the Bible than raise Verdi from the dead. Ah, the power in this blessed old Word. The power in this weapon. And so our forefathers have placed this weapon on the wall. And when the battles come, what weapon do we use? The Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Dr. Billings, for 25 years now, in my churches, not one time in 25 years has the pulpit ever been moved off on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night for a cantata or a movie or a special program. We've just had the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what this old nation of ours needs is some old-fashioned hell, fire, and brimstone, new birth Bible preachers who will take the weapons our fathers have left us on the walls of the house of God and use those weapons to put down the enemy, the Word of God, the Word of God. But there's also a second weapon that we built that I've used to build this church on, and that weapon is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Oh, the weapon of prayer and fasting. I mean agonizing. I mean going without food. I mean hang on to God. I mean, oh God, I won't let you go. I think about that dear Mrs. Mandel, who for 15 years wouldn't let God alone. Just wouldn't. Just wouldn't let God alone. Husband, a Jewish man, a well-known man, owner of the furniture store across the alley over here facing State Street for all these years, 30 years, been there in that store. Well-known man, a man who was faithful to the synagogue, a man who was considered a leader of the synagogue. And that little woman kept saying, Dear God, save my husband. Dear God, save my husband. Dear God, save my husband. And not only she warned God, she warned me. She'd call me on the phone and say, Brother Hiles, pray for my husband. I think he's getting closer. Pray for my husband. Pray for my husband. So one night, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I got in my car and I drove over here in front of the Mandel's Furniture Company and I parked in front of that place and I got out and I leaned up against the door. And I said, Dear God, that lady's been praying for 50 or many years. I don't know how many years. And Lord, you're going to have to answer her prayer. She just keeps on coming and keeps on coming. And one day I said, I'll not eat a bite. I'll not eat a bite for a while, but I'm going to pray for Mr. Mandel. And one night at 1 o'clock in the morning, I went over there, and I guess for an hour I stayed against that door. And I drove around that building, and I parked in that parking lot. And then last Sunday morning, to God be the glory, in that first service, that man walked down the aisle and received Christ as his personal Savior. Somebody said, I didn't know this, but he'd been going to the synagogue and leaving before it was over. And he came back and told his wife, I don't get much out of the synagogue anymore. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is working on him. That's why. Ah, thanks be to God. The power of the New Testament church that will grab the weapon of the preaching of the Word of God and will grab the weapon of intercessory prayer and will grab the weapon of fasting and prayer and say, we'll dare stand up in 1971 and we'll say to the hippies and we'll say to the communists and we'll say to this old sin-cursed, wicked, vile, sensual world, it still can be done just like it was done in Louis' day. We'll grab the weapons that God has placed on the walls of the old house and fight the weapons war with the weapons of the King. It's as simple as cornbread and buttermilk, but the third weapon that we'll keep on using here at First Baptist Church is old-fashioned soul winning. Old-fashioned soul winning. I said to our visitation ladies last Friday morning, or Friday at noon, I spoke a few words to them. I said, doesn't matter what you build in the church grows on soul winning. Just keep on going. Just keep on knocking. Just keep on witnessing. Soul winning. May I say this morning, and my heart is filled today with praise and thanksgiving for you dear aged people in our church. May I say to those of you who've been here, many of you 35 and 40 years, some of you were members of this church before I was born. The Daxter's been married 80 years. I don't know how long they've been here. But some of you were here before I was born. And here on this corner, now for 83 years, there's been a church with an open Bible and a gospel sermon and an invitation. And you placed on the walls of the temple of God, the house of God, these weapons. May I say this morning, as long as I'm pastor of this church, we plan to keep using the weapons you placed here. We plan to keep on using them. I mean the preaching of God's word. I mean the soul winning. I mean the prayer and fasting. I mean the old-fashioned gospel. I mean the old-time religion. That's what I'm talking about. We dedicate ourselves again anew to say, whatever we do, we'll build it on this book and on the Christ of this book. We'll use the weapons that our forefathers have used. Let me say a word to you young people. I pledge you youngsters, and I pledge you children, when I preach my last sermon behind this pulpit and lay down my armor and meet the Savior for whom and about whom I preached all these years, I promise you, when you get in some battles and some wicked queens try to take over the church and try to bring something behind this pulpit that's not true, I promise you, if you look on these walls around here, you will find we will have left you some weapons that God can give you with which to fight, that can put down the wicked queens and the wicked, vile, sensual people. I challenge you, I charge you, you keep this church always using the weapons of our King. Our Lord was here as David was here. Our Lord fought as David fought. He used soul winning. He used prayer and fasting. He used the Word of God. And those weapons have been left here for your use, for our use, and we'll leave them for yours. I'll say what I've said before in case I were to crash in a plane tomorrow. In case tonight I preach the last sermon that I preach in this pulpit, if anybody ever stands behind this desk that does not believe in the verbal inspiration of this book and you find it out, kick him out! And if you can't kick him out and the day ever comes when this church does not use the weapons left by our King on the walls of his house, if we do not believe the verbal inspiration and the virgin birth and in soul winning and in the old time gospel, I hope this building falls! Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And then may I say something else. May I say to those in heaven, may I say to the man whose name is on this pulpit, Leonard Tudor, and may I say to Deacon Gifford, and may I say to Martha Hartman, and may I say to Mrs. Annis, and may I say to Verdi Fields, God bless you, everyone. You serve faithfully here at this church. You sacrificed and given and bled and died and fought for what you thought was right. May I say to you, dear saints of God in heaven, this morning, we're going to keep using your weapons. Yes, we are. We're going to keep using the old weapons. I believe this morning there is still a hope in America for a decent revival that'll bring our nation back to some sanity. I think this morning there are enough young preachers with the rustling in the mulberry leaves and their hearts aflame for God and His Word, where we still can save our nation. I believe God's going to use this corner as a great part of that revival. But if He does, He'll do it because we keep using the weapons of our King. Here comes a young boy. He's just a junior type, primary junior boy. But on his shoulders shall rest the entire kingdom of Judah. He it is who will sit on the throne as the king of all of Judah. What a responsibility. May I say to you, Joash, use David's weapons. Don't get any new ones. Use the ones David has used. Get David's shield. Get David's sword. Get David's spears. Use the king's methods, the one who established this kingdom. May I say to you this morning, use the king's methods. I walked one day through the temple as a kid preacher. As I walked through the temple, I saw Billy Sunday's Bible. I saw it open to Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I saw Billy Sunday's Bible. No longer turned but the fingers of the great Billy Sunday. I saw that Bible. And I saw the blood on that Bible. And I said, I think it will still work. I believe old-fashioned Billy Sunday preaching will still work. And I got on my knees and I said, Dear God, I'll use that kind of Bible and that kind of preaching and that kind of conviction. And I still believe it'll work. I went to Spurgeon's Tabernacle, been there twice. First time I went there. Building now seats 1,700. Right over the pulpit, there's a dove. Nobody shows up much anymore. And I saw the museum room of Spurgeon's Tabernacle. My mind wandered back to that great man of God who built that great tabernacle in church in London. I went home that back to the room that night and I tossed and tumbled. Way in the morning, I said, Oh my God, we need some Spurgeons today. Oh my God, we need some churches like that today. And I said, I believe it can be done today. I mean now, it can still be done. If we'll use the weapons that Spurgeon used. I walked through the temple. I went to Wesley's chapel. I believe that Wesley's religion can still be preached. And I believe Wesley's power can still be had. I believe that Finney's power can still be had. I believe the Pentecostal power is still available. This morning, I simply declare afresh and anew the simplicity or the simple fact of the wonder of the Word of God. The wonder of the power of God. And as we face, I think, the greatest days our church has ever known, let's don't worry about any new weapons. Let the other churches try to build on dance halls. Let the other churches have their bingo parties. Let the legislature in Illinois say bingo's legal. It won't affect us a bit. Let the rest of them have their carnivals and their big world at times. Let the rest of them have their gambling parties. Let the rest of them build their Knights of Columbus taverns. Let the rest of them try to build on bowling alleys and skating rinks and sensual pleasure. But let there be one church in this area that says, we'll grab the old weapons off the wall and preach a book. And there will be, God helping us, there will be. We'll stand for this book. Bless God for it. We'll stand for it. And we'll study it, and we'll memorize it, and we'll love it, and we'll eat the scroll, and put it next to our breast, and we'll weep over it, and claim its promises, and teach it, and preach it, and learn it, and love it, and know it, and follow it, and obey it. The weapons of our King. The weapons of our King. There's also something else we'll keep preaching, and that is the fact that if man is not born again, he'll perish in the fires of hell forever and ever. I was talking to a businessman Friday afternoon. He said, How do you get all those crowds at First Baptist Church? He sort of sneered while he said it. How do you get all those crowds? What kind of gimmick you got? I said, We just preach Jesus and the Word of God. He said, you must be a dynamic person. He said, I've got a dynamic book. Dynamic book. Oh, let me say this morning, I believe this book and the Savior about whom it teaches is able to build a great school, a great senior citizen's home, a great orphanage, a great college, elementary schools. But I believe the day the First Baptist Church ever departs from this blessed book and reaches up and grabs some weapons not placed there by our King, I believe we're doomed to failure. This morning, I turn just in closing to those of you that know not the Savior. I turn to those of you that never have been born again. I know what the world says. I know what they say. Nothing to the old-time religion. But they just don't know. Well, this thing of being saved, that's okay for the poor white trash, but the rich white trash better get saved, or they're going to become poor white trash one of these days in hell. Yeah, you say, I know, you talk about being saved. Yeah, the Bible talks about being saved too. If you go to heaven, you'll get to heaven the same way John the Baptist did, by getting born again. If you go to heaven, you'll get to heaven the same way that Dwight Moody did, by getting born again. If you go to heaven, you'll get to heaven the same way that Billy Sunday did, by getting born again. Every person in this room this morning has got to go out into eternity someday, and 100 years from now, you'll be in hell or in heaven. You say, well, that's the Baptist way. No, it's the Bible way. It's the Bible way. Yesterday morning, I had a funeral service with John and I did out in Hessville in Black Oak area. And we talked before the service about the man who died in his 60s, I think. 1 year ago, he walked down these aisles and he was breathing like that. He had emphysema and coal miner's lungs and who knows what else. But he wanted to receive Christ and he did. After the service, he walked to get baptized, and he walked up a few steps. And he'd breathe heavily and get enough strength and breath and air to walk up a bit. He walked in the baptistry. You could hear him as he breathed with his emphysema and coal miner's lungs. But he received Christ. He was born again, and he's in heaven today. Oh, my beloved friend, if you don't know that you're saved, I plead with you in the name of Christ, come believe the old-fashioned Bible of an old-fashioned Savior who went to an old-fashioned cross and died an old-fashioned death to make an old-fashioned salvation possible. Come to Christ this morning. But you say, I don't want to be a Baptist. You don't have to be a Baptist. All you've got to do is come to Christ. But you say, preacher, I don't want to get baptized. You don't have to get baptized. All you've got to do is come to Christ. Come to the old-fashioned gospel. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. My appeal this morning is twofold. First, Dr. Billings, Brother Fisk, Brother Streeter, Brother Colston, Brother Peavy, staff, deacons, and members, as we face this morning the great program before the First Baptist Church of Hammond, may we never forget the weapons that we use are the weapons of our King. The Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. A Bible that's true. Salvation that's real. May God give us wisdom as we pursue these courses and lead us step by step. And then may I say to those of you not saved this morning, God loves you. And because He does, I do. And I want you to go to heaven. Man, strong, intelligent, head of a house, strong of body. Man, you've got to get born again if you go to heaven when you die. Lady, lovely, charming, gracious. Boys, you've got to get born again if you go to heaven. Teenager, all of life before you, you've got to get born again if you go to heaven. I beg you this morning, receive Christ and know that you're saved. Let us pray. Oh God, this morning, may this pulpit always be aflame with the preaching of the Word of God. May this church always be built on old-fashioned prayer and fasting and soul-winning and Bible preaching. May, as we face the days ahead, may there be a new consecration to use not the new weapons, but the weapons of the old kings and preachers. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. May we use those weapons. But dear God, this morning, bless that one here who's not saved. Bless that one who's walked in these doors and has not received Christ.
May he this morning say, oh, today is the day for me. I've got to die. I've got to face God. I've got to spend eternity somewhere. May he this morning say yes to Christ. Oh, God, hear our prayer today and bring heaven's dove down in this room and make it a time when many shall say, yes, today I'm coming to Jesus Christ. Now our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. I wonder how many can say with the highest, I know what you mean. I've been born again. I know what you're talking about. I'm saved. I'm God's child. Yes, I am. I know it. I'm born again. If I died this morning, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the house? All over the house. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. But I wish I could know. I believe the Bible. I believe in God, but I don't know that I'm saved. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. God knows I do. I don't want to go to hell. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you simply lift your hand on the lower floor first, those on the lower floor, and say, pray for me. I want to be a Christian. I don't know that I'm saved. Quietly, would you say, pray for me? Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you, little lady. I see you.